It's Mauricio Mejia live. Entertainment guru, Silicon Valley entrepreneur, author, and speaker. It's Mauricio Mejia live.
Welcome back. We are back, Mauricio Mejia live. Woo. Broadcasting from downtown San Jose inside of Studio B. And today is going to be a very special day for me, for us in the room. We're going to be having a conversation about life and the things that life throws at us. And I want to invite and welcome two very special guests that are here. I want to welcome Zenaida and Crystal. Welcome to the show, and today is going to be a backstage. We're talking about work, entrepreneurship, sometimes what life throws at us, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, and then we're going to jump into Zenaida. I want to say thank you. Is this your first podcast?
Yeah.
There you go. Look, it's a special day, so it's going to be your first time on a podcast, and we don't know where this is going to go, but we wanted to go to great places and we wanted to make a big impact on the world and others. That's the goal of this. And again, I want to thank you. This is an honor and it's a pleasure. Thank you for the gift, too. My little Mauricio, if the camera can zoom in on it, next to the Rolex there. I want to make sure that it's high end and we're representing well. Thank you. And for the sweater, too.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate that. I take it with love because I think your intentions were to give it with love and so forth. So, Mom, let's start off with you. Let's dive into what do you do in life? Everyone has a story to share. And that's really what I want to do is just share stories and make an impact in either an influence or an inspiration or I don't know. It just comes all natural. So tell us about you because you shared a lot of great things. You know?
So I'm Sunaita's mom. Everyone knows she's my role model. And
I'm like, oh, I want to cry already.
I met you. So it's like, oh. It was cool. Firstly, thank you, first of all, for bringing us on to the podcast.
Yeah.
I told Sunaita, she was pretty excited.
Well, I want to thank the guys from Paleta Planeta because those guys are amazing. And I can't wait to see them explode to a whole different level. Mm-hmm. And they mentioned Sunaita in their show.
Yeah.
And I said, we need to get her on the show. And I think for many reasons is because we want to be able to make an impact and show others that if you think life is tough, mm-hmm. sometimes we have to look outside of our universe to see what others are going through and then really be able to look back and say, all right, we better be a little bit more grateful and a little bit more appreciative of where we're at.
Agree. I know. I remember when Luis texted me, he was like, hey, is it okay if I share Sunaita's story? And I said, hey, man, you're part of the story, too.
That's right.
It's a community. And the fact that you guys opened up to the childhood cancer awareness is very dear to our heart. And hopefully this might inspire somebody or a family or someone that really needs it and maybe open your eye a little bit to a different perspective of our life, how we handled our challenges and make things move differently and accept certain circumstances for us.
So tell us, we'll dive into kind of you and your background and what were you doing prior to, before you got the news from Zenaida's diagnosis?
Yeah.
And then, because I also, backstage we talked about entrepreneurship, right? Yes. And you and your husband both work, have your jobs, J-O-Bs.
Yep.
That is a taboo when we say that on the show, but
8 to 5.
Or 9 to 5, but that's okay because that I always encourage and I tell people those jobs give people runways.
Yep.
Sometimes it's the runway to take care of the basics. So you have an 8 to 5 job.
Yes.
If you want to share what you do, you can.
Yeah,
you
know. I work for a cybersecurity company.
Okay.
It's a tech job here in Silicon Valley. And during that time, I guess when the pandemic happened, I got in. Actually, the pandemic woke me up to entrepreneurship. And so
woke up a lot of people.
Yes. It was. I'm glad it did because I got to see a different perspective of entrepreneurship where I started a tanning business. And then from there, I learned a lot of different challenges. I got into different fields. I was also finding myself too and what type of business I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I got into the fitness industry and I was also just doing spray tanning. And I think from there, I lost myself in between there. And that's when I realized I wasn't taking care of myself.
But prior to that, let's go back to, I think it was 2015.
2015, I worked for cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. I had the luxury of working remote. So we were just a happy family. At the time, it was just...
You're still a happy family. We're all a happy family.
Yes,
there's no we were. It's just life is happening right now. We're still happy and life throws you a situation.
Yeah.
And you find out, and Zenaida at the time is how old?
Zenaida was 4 at the time.
4 years old, and you're now?
I'm 12.
You're 12 years old, okay. So she's 4 years old and gets diagnosed.
So she got diagnosed at 4 with neuroblastoma stage 4. Prior to that, she was getting sick a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think we kept going to the doctors a lot frequently. And that's when Zenaida started getting colds, coughs, on and off fever. They weren't high fevers. They were low grade fevers. And then she would get sick frequently. So I take her to the doctor. At the time, I just had my daughter. Well, my daughter was about 8 months. My other daughter was about 8 months. Zenaida was 4. And we went on what kind of woke us up to, okay, this is something serious, is she was sleeping a lot. Mm-hmm. At the time, I was working my 8 to 5, so I would go to work. She'd be with my in-laws and watch Zenaida, and I noticed that when I would pick her up, she would be still sleeping when we got home, and I would have to force her to wake up to eat dinner.
Yeah, you're thinking, she sleeps. She's not going to sleep at night. So yeah, you're thinking, I got to wake you up. What's up with you? Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
So she was super tired. She would complain about her hip and small things. And then my husband was like, I think there's something wrong. I think we really need to take her to the ER. So we went back to our primary doctor. And from there, that's when the doctor was like, no, she's just probably growing pains. She's just maybe because you just had your daughter, that it's mom. I don't know how to say it, mamitis in English, where mm-hmm. she was just really attached to me because she was my chicle.
But she's your first daughter.
Yes.
Yeah. Your
my
first child.
Daughter. Yeah. We did everything together. So
yeah, she would dress me up. Like wherever we went, like either it was Starbucks or like to the store, she would dress me up.
Yeah, so we went to Disneyland, and that was like her favorite thing when she would love, because she was into Frozen at the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so we went to Disneyland, and she didn't want to get out of the stroller. So I knew, I was like, no, there's something definitely wrong. And so we tried. I felt really guilty at the time because I was forced to, like, oh, we went to Disneyland. Come on, let's go see the princesses. But she, deep down inside, she didn't feel good. Mm. So then the doctor kept denying us on a lot of things, especially testing for Zenaida. I think their concern was more about how much the tests were. And my husband was like, nope, he's F that. We're going to take her to, right when we get back from LA, we're going to take her to the ER and get her tested. So we did. And as a mom at that time, I was young. I would think I was like in my early 20s. And I remember, okay, kind of, I was in denial a little bit because I was like, you don't want to hear something bad being diagnosed for your child. Mm. So my husband was like, nope, let's go. Let's grab everything and we're going to go. So I remember taking my other daughter to my in-laws and dropping her off. And we went to the hospital. And it was scary because Zenaida didn't know what was going on, but we explained to her we need to do some tests just to see what's going on. And that's when my husband demanded a lot of the tests, is that they denied us the first time with our primary doctor. And so that's when they did the test.
What hospital was this?
This was Good Samaritan. So we went straight to Good Samaritan in Southside San Jose.
Yeah.
Luckily enough, my cousin was there. Mm-hmm. He works there at the emergency room, and he was able to push her up to get seen right away. And that's what we found out. She got cancer, and her scans came. We did the MRI and we did a CT scan, blood work, everything came
all back. Of that came out in that same evening.
Yes, we got everything right away.
Wow.
So the first thought too is like, wow, if the doctors would have listened just to the beginning, would this been maybe possibly handled different, and maybe would she have a different scenario? But I don't question anything. I leave everything in God's hands. And I think that's what helped me for my husband, because at the day of the day that we found out she had cancer, I'm not gonna lie, I was mourning for her at the day that we found out she had cancer. And
I can't even register it. I can't. So to think of that emotion, doctor comes out.
Yeah.
Shares the news with you and your husband. Probably got to look at each other.
Yeah, we did.
Looked at each other and.
This is in front of Zenaida.
Wow. So she's 4 years old.
She's 4 years old.
Do you even remember any of those memories?
No.
Okay.
I didn't really remember anything because I was like little.
You're a little baby.
She was sedated too. Yeah. I think she was sedated also. So it's like a blur a little bit. I just remember looking at my husband and trying not to cry in front of her because I wanted to show her that everything's going to be okay. But inside, I wasn't. We weren't. My husband and I looked at each other. Oh, my God. And then prior to this, I lost my brother 6 months before she got diagnosed. Mm-hmm. So that's why I say I felt like I was already mourning.
Right.
And so from there, I was like, crap, dude, are we going to go through this? Like, how are we going to do it? I'm already thinking, how am I going to juggle this? And I have another daughter that's 8 months. So how are we going to do this? But right away, we didn't really have much time to Mm-mm. think because Good Samaritans transferred us right away to Palo Alto, Lucio Packard Children's Hospital. And that's when they did their testing. They did more testing. So we were literally in the hospital for about a month. At Lucio Packard, I took time off of work just to really focus and be with Sunaida. And she was in a lot of pain during that first month because they're doing bone marrow biopsies, mm-hmm. they're doing more scans. Yeah. And they were just, I just remember nurses, we were like, what, 3 a.m, and they were like interviewing you and asking us.
They were like just bust up like from the door. Like, doing stuff, like, without, like, my permission. Like,
without even knocking?
No.
Oh, like, man, we better document that. We're filing a complaint now.
But I think at that time, it was, I don't know if it wasn't as, like, cancer patients. Maybe they, at that time, I think Sunaida was, like, a good example of that time. Because we, as parents, that's when we spoke up. Like, we started realizing, like, okay, like, this is not normal.
Right.
How do we translate to Sunaida's language as a 4-year-old? Like, what's going on? And I don't want to do it too much.
I don't think you can.
No.
I don't think you can. The understanding, the mindset, the language. Mm-hmm. What do you say when there's someone that doesn't understand the difference between right and wrong, real or not real? What is this?
Okay. It felt like a cloud. Like, honestly, some parts I don't even remember the first month just because of the emotions that we were going through at that time and we didn't know what we were getting into. And that's when, so I go back to Good Samaritans because they told us at first it was lymphoma cancer. And then when we found out with lymphoma, okay, that's probably a better cancer than what we found out to be.
Got it.
So when Lucio Packard did their scans, so the whole how that whole process goes is basically they do their set of scans and they found out the type of DNA of the tumor. So at the time when we got the test results back, the cancer spreaded everywhere and she had a big tumor on top of her adrenal gland, which is on top of your kidney.
Okay.
And so she had neuroblastoma stage 4 already. It was at stage 4. So there's different stages in cancer. So hers was already at stage 4.
Stage 4 is, God forgive us, but stage 4 is not good.
And so I had to tell Sunaida. I remember I was talking to my husband and I was like, how do we explain this to Sunaida? What do we do? Who do we talk to? Luckily enough, at Lucio Packard, there is, at the time they had Child Life, would come into the room and kind of distract Sunaida a little bit and play with her and just mm-hmm. ask her questions. And do you remember any of the questions they would ask?
Not really, because
it was hard that month.
I wasn't understanding like anything like very well.
Yeah. So at that time, they weren't really explaining everything to her. So I think that's where Chewy and I, at the time, my husband, came in and were like, okay, so are we going to be very transparent with her and just tell her how like it is, or do you want to like bluff a little bit?
Yeah.
And he was like, no.
Crazy that you have to think, right? Because of what you say. Because you want to be delicate.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you want to build, you want to reinforce, you want to empower the mind.
Yeah.
Right? Because like I said earlier, whatever you give energy to,
you're going to
just reinforce it. What do you do?
So I remember crying. And I'm so glad you explained that because I remember my husband, he was like, look, I know you're upset. I know you're frustrated. I know, like, you want to protect Sunaida.
Yeah.
At the same time, but she's here with us right now.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be here. Let's focus one day at a time.
Amen.
And from there, she's here with us right now. And don't think that. I know, and we got to have a lot of faith. We have to build that faith. We have to get back into praying. And
first of all, with a name like Jesus. My brother, you got Jesus with you. You got the Latino Jesus with you.
Yes.
So come on. He was preaching good. So, hey, he knew what he was saying.
Yep. And no. Then from there, yeah. So we've decided to be very transparent, and we prayed to God every day ever since then. God guide us as parents to be very transparent with her, but for Sunita to understand. And not, you know, unfortunately, at a four-year-old, she had to mature very fast because it's childhood cancer, but yet she had to mature herself into an adult at 4 years old to understand the whole mechanism of cancer.
Right. Yeah. Well, you have to force growth into the mind. Playing with toys and dolls is great, right? But at the same time, there's a certain level of maturity that needs to start happening in the mind. So at what point does she start to really recognize and be able to start communicating? Because now you're a preteen. You're 4 years old. Mom, I'm going to tell you, they thought you weren't going to make it, and you're here with us today. So gracias a Dios.
Yeah.
And you're a little warrior. I've heard stories already, and we got a little treat at the end of the show. But I'm really proud. I'm blessed. I thought my problems. Zero. I'm sitting here with you, and it's not a problem. It's just it's a life situation.
Gratitude,
and, yeah. And I want to hear from you. Tell me your story. Tell me what, you know. So you find out about this. Chewy here is giving you Chewy advice, and you guys are figuring this out. She's now got to go through treatments for how long? So she's going through 2 years of...
of chemo.
If it's a two-year process. So walk us through the process of that. So two-year process, you know.
So that day when she gets, so there, all the nurses are rushing in, that's when Sunita was told us, like, she spoke up. She's like, she told the nurse, stop. What are you doing? She started asking.
When was this?
When she was four.
Four, okay. Okay.
So
all right.
You could talk about how you started asking questions.
So I started asking questions like, what is that? What are you going to do to me?
Mm-hmm.
So he started explaining more what they're going to do to me, telling me what this is.
And you're 4 years old.
So then we were transparent with her. So then that's when we told her, okay, mommy, this is the plan. It's going to be 2 years of going into...
She doesn't even know the span of time yet either. So 2 years is like, what? So 2 years
of treatment. So the protocol for her treatment was doing two rounds of chemo. So what we were trying to do is shrink the tumor as much as we can, because it was already going into her kidney or getting into the area. And she had neuroblastoma all over. It was in her skull, her spine, her hip. And on top of that, the reason why she was limping...
Are they like little tumors, these things? Or
cancer cells. So when they...
Got it. Yeah. Okay, got you. So when I hear that, it sounds like a blood cancer. Is it a...
No, so neuroblastoma is actually a nervous system.
Okay.
It's your nervous system. So it was a cancer from the nervous cell. Wow. So something that didn't mutate correctly.
Mm.
And so she had that special DNA in her T cell, I think it was, that's inside of her body that didn't mutate correctly, and it formed and duplicated from there. She didn't have metastasis, where it doesn't, once you remove the tumor, then it grows 10 times faster. She didn't have that type of cancer, because I could go on. I think I learned so much from the medical terminology and her as well. And so from there, that's when everything was spreaded, because they do a scan, and from the scan, they give her contrast. So she's getting, like, she has a whole bunch of IV. They inject a special contrast to, that way the light intakes the cancer cell intakes.
And then when they do the contrast, it lights up my whole body.
Yeah.
Like, when I say light up the whole body, you
can see the machine, right? Yeah. I've done that when they've done the MRI, I think, and it feels warm. I was like, ooh,
And sometimes they told me, like, you might feel like you peed yourself.
I was just going to say, the doctor said, you're going to feel like a sensation, like you're going to pee yourself. And I'm like, what? I'm like,
yeah.
I remember when they did it. I felt it,
but you don't. You just feel
I hope not.
But I just checked just in case, because I don't know if they're like it or not.
It was funny too, because I was like, really? Because I've never gotten that type of scan. So when she said, I was like, oh my God.
We're part of the special club.
We did all the chemos. We were able to extract the tumor. They removed, we were able to shrink it half the size out it was before, which was, praise God, everything went as raw. And so from there, that's when she was done with that, then she had to do 22 sessions of radiation, and that was a toll, because you're going every single day. You can't miss a day. So for 22 days straight, we were going to radiation, and she was, I remember being her exhausted.
And how'd you deal with that? Because don't you, when you take radiation, you can't be around others, or aren't you confined in a...
Yes, we were.
Yeah.
That first time we went through the cancer tube, we also were very strict.
Yeah.
I remember being so strict with Sunaida that because of her, she was neutropenic, which means that your immune system is very low. I would tell Sunaida, wash your hands. Very precautious. I think it created OCD for us.
I'm like, oof.
No. I would tell Sunaida because I gave her, at the time, she wasn't able to go to school because of what was going on at the time. So she wasn't really in school yet. She was in TK because she was the special November baby at the time here in San Jose.
November what? When's your birthday?
November 9th.
Ooh, my son's November 4th. All right. You guys are
Scorpios. So from there, that's when we were going every day and she was getting exhausted. So she would be neutropenic. And then from there, we would be incubated. But she was sleeping a lot during radiation.
I can imagine that.
Loss of appetite.
Yeah.
Didn't have...
Taste buds would go missing. I wouldn't taste like the normal stuff my mom would give me, like even my grandma. She'll give me soup and I wouldn't like it.
Yeah, she couldn't taste anything.
I thought you would have been like, I ate it. And Grandma, I love your food. I loved it. Sí, me gustó tanto. I'm lying to you.
Albóndigas.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she would have to put tons. I remember she would put tons and tons of lemon. I was like, Sunaida. Are you sure? She's like, I can't taste it. Yeah. And she would put lots of lemon because I guess chemo and radiation gives you this weird, it changes your taste bud. And some people say there's been a couple times where she reports it tastes like metal.
I was just going to say like metallic. Yeah. There's been some medications. I had an infection in my stomach and they made me take some Cipro and some other stuff.
Oh, okay.
And I remember in my mouth, I was like, damn, it tastes like metallic. I'm like, not like I know what metal tastes, but I'm just like, that was the senses that I got. So.
Yeah, because you would say, even to this day, she still hasn't got her taste buds back.
Definitely.
Yeah. That was a struggle, too, during the treatment. So during that time of radiation, the doctors were really concerned about her weight. So
school, what's happening with school here? There's any homeschooling now?
She did. So she was in preschool at 4 years old. So we took her out of preschool because she was missing so many days and we were paying preschool. So
no more sense.
Yeah. No, so I was we're not going to pay for preschool if she's not able to attend.
Mm-mm.
So they offered hospital school, but we didn't feel like it was the need because we were so focused on everything that's happening and trying to keep ourselves sane as well. And then she would be busy with arts and crafts. I think that's where she built her creativity.
Some friends in there. You had a couple of other friends that joined your club.
Addie.
Let me ask you, other symptoms, hair loss?
Yeah, so she lost her. So after the second chemo, that's when she started losing her hair.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to hold on to as much as possible, and she was like, it's getting itchy. And then I told her, it's up to her. Do you want to cut it, or do you want to just keep to the last strand? And
what'd you do?
I cut it.
There you go. Brave. Look at that. Brave right there. The bravery that came out of you. Weird.
She's ready. Yeah.
I'm ready to.
And I think that's when she was like, okay, I'm like, I'm going to take this battle and I'm going to beat it.
How old is she now? 5, 6?
No, this is still 4. So after we did radiation, she did stem cell transplant. So what stem cell transplant is basically they harvested her good cells and they grab her cells and they did a really high dose chemo, an adult type of chemo where they fully kill the cancer cell at a really high dose where...
Mm-hmm.
She got really sick,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's where we got really scared because we witnessed things that we were like, oh, my God, are we going to lose our daughter?
Wow.
So I think from there, that's the night she started. That's when we were staying in the hospital for 4 weeks until she did the stem cell rescue, which is basically she was so neutropenic that her levels were not recuperating well. And so after the stem cell transplant, it was supposed to bring her up, and it took over 46 days, but I give her props because she was like really depressed at that time, and it was hard for us to go through because she was still 4 years old.
When you talk about depression, I gotta understand this one. How do you know that she's depressed? So that we understand, right? Because a part of what we want to do here is there's an education process now, right? Yeah. How does every adult, right? We can say, oh, I'm depressed or the things that are talked about. You're 4 years old. Your parents, you're older. How do you identify that? How do you label it depression, right?
She was getting tired, especially from the chemo. And I think because we got so scared of what was going on that we almost lost her, where she was like not recuperating from the chemo, from the high dose chemo. She didn't want to eat. She didn't want to get up. She was sleeping all day. And I would ask her, she's no, I don't want to do anything. She started refusing art therapy and stuff. So that's when my husband and I were like, so when stem cell transplant, you're in the hospital. You can't leave. Nobody can come in. Nobody can come out. Only the parents. So me and my husband were alternating.
So sadness. We're talking like that's sadness. And then we're going to no light. So yeah. I'm getting it. So I'm trying to create that environment for my mind to understand there's darkness.
Yeah.
So depression is probably, it's even a version of a depression of yours that you're now reflecting the energy, the what you're seeing and feeling.
Yep.
That's depressing.
Yes.
So that's where I'm understanding, but I'm just trying to understand how a four-year-old, right?
What would you remember? Do you remember during transplant, babe, how you could explain like where you had no energy? And we didn't have much stuff in the room at the time either.
It's like black and white. You said it earlier. It's like being in a cell.
Felt like jail. It did feel like jail.
Well, not like jail, but
in a way it was.
No, absolutely. I understand what you're saying.
In a way it was because the doctors were very strict, especially when she was sick and there was the scary point where she was getting fevers every day and the fevers wouldn't go away. So then we were waiting for the transplant to plant and finally come up with numbers. So you have to meet a certain expectation. So basically every day, like we were waiting for at least just 1.1 ANC, something, because that would show progress that the transplant worked and it wasn't happening for a while. So 7 days passed by. And so my husband was like, you know what? That's what my husband like was trying to help a lot, like bring everything from the house to the room.
Yeah.
So that's when I was like, okay, let's come up with the game plan. We have routine. So that's where I think mindset wise during that time came in. And we started asking the doctors, like I told the doctors, I'm like, hey, look, I'm sorry, but my daughter at the time, like she's at the time when the stem cell transplant, I was like, she is not happy. She's depressed. Like, this is not good for a young 4-year-old to go through. You guys have to come up with something at the time. And that's when they were like, oh, we'll try to get Child Life to come. And that's when they started implementing. And we started learning that there was other resources in the hospital that we could do for Sonida.
Right.
So we started incorporating that type of stuff.
Yeah, you got to throw some happy in here. That's what I'm saying, right? We're focused on so much dark and so much.
Yeah. And we don't know all this
right,
stuff.
Right.
This is our first year.
Well, going into. And again, we're focusing so much energy, right?
Yeah.
And your options, you don't know what your options are. You just don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And now opportunities, light starts popping up. Something planted, something woke up, right?
Yeah.
You started really you started asking different questions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you started putting different pressures on different things, right? A doctor your doctor only knows one way because that's what he's used to, right? Because that's what he sees.
Goes by the books.
The medical world is a very, you got to cover your ass.
So then from there, that's when my husband started bringing all the stuff from the house, music, speakers. My mother-in-law would bring her home-cooked meals.
Nice.
Even though Sonia didn't want it, we just put it there that way. Mentally, she sees it.
Right, right, right.
And maybe it will spark something up. And then little by little, every day, you started creating a routine.
You started identifying.
You're like, well, if I'm going to be here, I need to make something out of this time. Yeah. So tell me, now you're at 4.5.
She would get ready. She would get her outfits ready, lined up, started getting ready. And then from there, her spark started coming up. And then from finally, little by little, we started getting the counts up.
Yeah.
And then
started fighting. Started fighting.
Her body was recuperating.
You started fighting.
And it took 46, maybe 50 days to finally get out of the hospital. Mm-hmm. And then the anima that she grew from that was like a beautiful butterfly.
Yeah. Yeah, you started fighting.
Yeah.
Your mind and body connected, and something along the way woke up, right?
Yeah.
No different than what I tell people as an entrepreneur. Something wakes you up.
Yeah. And then at the time, she was still having where she didn't have any taste buds, and so the doctors were really scared about her weight. And so that's when I was like, you know what? As long as she's happy, I'm not going to force her too much on eating, because we're believers of fasting, of how it helps your body a lot, and food is medicine.
fasting. We've been talking about. I just came off a 36-hour fast.
My husband's in a 7-day.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Yeah, we're my coaches and my team. We do it now every Monday. We start on Sunday. We do a 36-hour. We start at 8 p.m. at night, and we'll go till Tuesday.
Yeah.
At first, I was cool with the 24-hour, and then all of a sudden, they challenged me to 36. I was like, yeah.
I can't even do 24.
Yeah, no, I'm like hangry to the fullest, but no, I feel good. Today, I was like, I need to eat. So, but
eat healthy, though.
No, absolutely. Yeah. No, I don't want to go through all that to go blow it up.
So, and I told Sanaya, are you hungry? She would ask. I knew she wasn't shy to tell me when she's hungry. And then plus, at the time, she had her NG tube.
They wouldn't put... was it Pediasure?
Yeah, Pediasure, but it would make her feel weird.
It would make me feel nauseous, and then plus when I had it in, it gave me this weird feeling where it was weird.
So it's funny because when we're leaving going home, they're like, mm-hmm. make sure she's taking Pediasure, and they're very strict about it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I looked at the ingredients and I was just like, Pediasure, some of the stuff, I don't even know what it is, the ingredients. And so mm-hmm. I think that's like when we learned.
Pure sugar.
Oh, wow.
When my mom,
isn't sugar a bad ingredient for cancer?
It feeds the cancer. So that's another thing. Sadly, hospitals are giving.
Bad advice?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So finally, we go home. We're like so excited. Uh-huh. This is like when you're going home, it's like when you're going home with a newborn baby and you're like, finally, I'm home.
And you got an 8-month-year-old, too.
Yep. So in between there, my mother-in-law, we would switch in the hospital and they would bring me my daughter. But basically, my in-laws were my second parents to my daughter.
Wow.
So I think that we had the luxury of having our family here. And I think that's what helped us out a lot with Sunita's treatment, is because we had a big support from family that came to visit us, brought us food. And because at that time, we weren't even eating at that time. We were just focusing on Sunita, and it's so easy to get lost into that whole world of not taking care of yourself. So from there, my husband's like, let's go on a trip. Let's do something. But yet we're scared. We have to be careful because we don't want Sunita to get sick. Mm-hmm. So... after we started doing our first trip, we started realizing the spark in Sunita when mm-hmm. we would do family events, go out, and then she did really well.
Yeah. So sometimes, when was it one time? One time we went to dinner, remember, I had the NG tube.
We snuck out,
we took out the NG tube, and we didn't care at all because my mom and dad just wanted me to have a good time, so we just took it out.
The tube, the
NG tube.
What is that for?
So, because remember, she wasn't eating.
Oh, okay, got you. Okay.
So we just took it out.
My husband spontaneously said, hey, you guys want to go to Disneyland? And so we're like, what? Okay. So I was like, yeah. She's, but what about my NG tube? I'm scared that it's going to, because of the ride, and we were nervous at the time mm-hmm. that what if it comes out or something?
Yeah.
So I was like, let's just take it out. By the time there, I'm practically like a nurse, so yeah. I learned a lot of stuff. So Sunita, I'll just take it out. So she actually just pulled it out.
Wow!
It
again, was like, you're starting,
let's go.
You're starting to make decisions there. Yeah. So you're 5 years old now. You're more independent. I like that.
Yeah,
so
now I'm starting to grow hair a little bit.
Yeah,
like my hair is curly.
The chemo curls.
I would say much hair.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is how her hair was when she last was in remission.
Right now it's in a ponytail.
All right.
So at the end of the treatment, we did immunotherapy. And then from there, she was cancer-free.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
So we went from cancer-free. We did her scan. So from after that, she does her routine scans. And every scan, she's under anesthesia. So she's mm-hmm. was just like, I don't like this feeling of being under anesthesia.
And that happens every, how often?
Every 3 months.
So every 3 months after she came out, clean bill of health,
mm-hmm.
3 months she had to go back and get these
scans mm-hmm. to check the overall progress of the cancer.
And now she's starting to develop. Mm-hmm. So you guys have confidence. Life is starting to look bright now again, right? Is school become a thing, a part of life now?
Yeah.
Does life as a normal child or... as a growing up child start to...
Yeah, so that five, she finally... I remember I have a picture of her when we couldn't go to TK because of the cancer. She would wear her uniform and she was motivated. She was ready to go to school. And she said, I really want to go to school and have a normal life. And I said, okay, you will, mommy, you will. I promise. We're going to make it happen. And that was our goal. I think coming out of that whole journey of the cancer treat world, we're like, okay, let's... continue to live life. But we were scared. I'm not going to lie. We were scared because what if it comes back?
Right.
But we had to, at that stage, we weren't there yet, like right. mentally.
Eventually, you're going to have to let it go.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you have to.
You have to. You have to detach from that bad relationship.
Yep.
You know, like you got
yeah.
toxic relationship. You got to put it back, put it away. So
yeah.
Talk to me about what's school like for you and how's life? And I'm sure do schools have to be, do other students get known that of these situations? Does it have to become public? And then if it does, how did you deal with that at school?
Yeah, so she was still recovering. She hasn't recovered fully. So obviously after treatment, there's post side effects from chemo.
Okay.
So that's when it's another chapter where we go through, okay, that's when we have to start going, fixing her iron overload. So iron overload is basically your organs are filled with a lot of iron and they can overwork your organs. So she was at that stage where one of her organs could go out. So those were something that when she starts school that I told the teachers, like, hey, look, she's a previous cancer patient. These are signs to look and we have to give them everything that she was pre-diagnosed with. And then during kindergarten, when she started kindergarten, she still didn't have your hair was like still growing back. So I think I was, as a mom, I was scared, like, how is everyone going to accept her? Because of they're going to be like, why doesn't she have hair?
Yeah. And but the only reason why I'm asking is because now it's the next level of maturity you got to put, right? You already made her, turned her into a battle mindset. Hey, mm-hmm. we're fighting and you're part of this and we're in it together.
Yeah.
But there's more phases, right, that happen. Yep. There's the next situation that comes up and growing up as a child. And right now, I feel good energy. I feel that, and I'm sure you've had your great days, and then some days you're just like, man. But mm-hmm. you're here, and I've liked the stories that I heard. I'm telling you, the Paleta Planeta guys were sharing some great stories, and we, you know, the things that you've come up with and just the inspiration and the people that you've also have made an impact at such a young age, right? Because... Yeah. Mindset, strong mindset, and share some of those things. Share some of what is it like right now? Again, you're still a little young human being.
Mm-hmm. Right now, it's nice.
Like at
school. Just having a break away from me to the hospital and, like, getting poked, like, mm-hmm. a lot. Because I would have, like, appointments, like, to get blood work there and then. In school, it's good. I have a lot of friends.
Yeah, what grade are you in?
I'm in sixth grade.
Sixth grade, all right. A student, I hope, right?
Yeah.
All right, there you go.
Honor rolls.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah.
Tell us about, I know that one of the things that the Paleta Planeta guys shared with us is music. You like music?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's your favorite type of music?
My favorite type of music right now is reggaeton.
Reggaeton? Do you love all Latin or just reggaeton?
Reggaeton.
Just reggaeton, right? Yeah. Who's your favorite artist? Here we go.
Bad Bunny.
That's my favorite artist, too. So,
yeah.
Why do you like Bad Bunny?
Ever since I listened to his music, it motivated me.
Good energy.
Mm-hmm. Like good energy.
I don't pay attention to the lyrics, but I just love the energy,
uh-huh.
right?
There's a couple songs where it's a good rhythm, and I think that's mm-hmm. what the goal of that music era of reggaeton got her up, got her to work out, got her to dance, feel good.
Well, music saved my life too, so that's just, it was good energy, good vibes. It's good for the muscles, it's good for the mind to feel, because it creates that dopamine, that happiness, mm-hmm. right? That stuff that feeds our soul. Mm-hmm. So I think we put a clip where there was a clip that where you got, it was on video. And you're over at the Bad Bunny concert. Who took you to Bad Bunny?
Well, there was this one time I bought my own ticket.
Yeah, all right. So the first time. So
All right. 12-year-old buying her own tickets. Damn. I must be doing the wrong business here. Oh, damn. What kind of hustle do you got going on over here? Seriously. Bad Bunny's not cheap, man. So
the first time she got exposed because my husband and I. That
Bad was Bunny, hey, you see her? She bought her own ticket. You better give her VIP for life. This is going to go, this is gonna go viral now, Mama.
That's the goal.
All right.
So when tonight, so she We dealt with life, different challenges in life after that. And then so when she relapsed with neuroblastoma and thyroid cancer. So she now has two cancers.
Shit, when did this happen? When, I mean,
that was right when the
pandemic. I was having a good time here. What's going on over here? Come on, man. See, mom busted it out.
Side busted.
Hold on here. Let's finish talking before mom ruins our party over here.
So that's where our goal was, where basically, regardless of the diagnosis, I want Sonaita to live life to the fullest.
Yeah.
All of us. You have to. You can't.
Hello. Yeah, we have to. There's no other way.
Yep.
There's no other way. And I'm going to plant some seeds right now. And you got to live to the fullest. You got to do everything and anything that you can do.
Yep.
Age is not, it's just a number.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're still a little short, so you might not be able to get on all the big rides yet or the clubs yet. But don't worry, we can set that up. We can do a little teen club for you. Don't worry, I'm the king of the clubs. So I will make it happen. Don't worry. But yeah, you and no fear.
Yeah.
No.
The number one thing I'm going to tell you right now is have no fear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fear will cripple. And even me, the minute that fear creeps in your mind, in your soul, in your blood, in your body, when you feel scared, it's only temporary.
Yep.
You got to overcome it. And you've overcome it. So you are a master of overcoming that because... Yeah. As again, you're an inspiration to me.
Yeah.
And trust me, you're going to be that little person on my shoulder that when I have a bad day, I'm going to be like, shh, my girl's a night. My stuff is small times next to what you got going on.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that, you know, as you listen, before we even have a relapse, what are some of the things that you've enjoyed so far in life, family, you have a younger sister, and is it both, you have all girls or you have any?
Two girls and one boy.
All right, there we go. Yeah. You got a little brother.
Papa.
So you got little papas, you got, and what about the?
Yanelli.
Yeah, what is her name?
Yanelli.
Yeah. All right. Do you get along with your siblings?
Liar.
Yeah, I do. But sometimes
you love them. They're your family. I was gonna say they're your squad. So
they're funny too, cause like sometimes, oh my goodness, they just call me. When they were a baby, they call me Yaya.
Yaya. All right.
And I don't know, but it would be so funny, cause like, where'd you get Yaya from?
That's what I'm saying. Like, how do you come up with these names? Like,
but
what?
It would be so hard to pronounce my name.
Yeah.
So I would hear it, Yaya.
Yeah.
Sonaita.
Okay. All right.
So I would hear
and baby it. Talk, right? Uh-huh. They were just baby talking. Yeah. You. They're like, Yaya.
And so, cause my sister Yanelli, she would call me Yaya, and so Papa. When he came along, he started calling me Yaya. So I'm like, okay, my name is Yaya. And then...
That's cool. That's a cool nickname right there. Yeah. Yaya. A.K.A. And Yaya in the house. Until, what's happening? I'm going to be your manager for entertainment now.
Yeah.
That's your personal manager? I'm going to be the entertainment manager.
And there you go.
When my brother started talking, he would call my sister Yaya too. I'm like, two Yayas? Because he would say Yaya, and we would both say Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we wouldn't get two... Because it's two of us.
Mm-hmm.
We want to get who's calling who.
Right.
Would it be me or would it be my sister?
Yeah.
And then sometimes he would have to point on who he's talking to.
What do you like to do?
I like to make bracelets.
Yeah, no, thank you again. Yeah. I love this. Yeah, no, this is going to be part of my wardrobe now.
I'm wearing bracelets right now.
Actually, this is really cool because I never find one that says my name. So now I got one, I'm like, Mauricio. Like, I need a reminder of my name, right? I'll be like, Mauricio.
Who does it belong to?
Yeah. Do you sell these by any chance?
I make custom ones.
Do you have a website for this?
Yeah, it's
nice.
Z.jewelrybox.com.
Okay, Z.jewelrybox?
Yeah.
All right, nice. Did you draw it yourself or you designed it? Or
I think through Canva. We did it through Canva.
All right.
Yeah. I showed her the rope and I was like, pick your stuff. And she did everything on her own.
How are sales? Are you doing good? You need a partner, investor? What's up? Like, how can we become a part of this team here? What do you do with the money? Are you saving it up for something?
I'm saving.
Okay.
We did a couple. So you could talk about how you started your whole.
We did say this was an entrepreneurship program, right? So we're gonna hit that right now. So tell me about is this the only thing you have as a business?
No.
All right, hustler.
I do,
yes.
I do earrings and I do necklaces. Okay. I do like beaded rings.
Okay.
and
the care packages.
Care packages. Also,
that's what we're working on next.
Also, soon, later in the future, I'm gonna be doing chemo packets, care packets for the kids or like even adults or
anybody
even
fighting cancer.
Nice.
And then even.
Well, I want to partner up. I want to help out on that stuff.
And
yeah.
And we're also trying
for Sunita's. So she wanted to do the chemo care packages stuff. She'll be sharing stuff like that. Helped her during chemo and stages of radiation stuff like so like beanies her bracelets anything to motivate
and then also hit up people who like have like leftover
makeup influencers. So we're trying to work with a couple makeup
we got one already. Shanberry's been on the show, right?
Oh yes.
Yeah. So we're gonna hook you up with Shanberry. She
went to one of her events.
Successful. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Shanberry, we got to talk to her. We're going to say, hey, we need maybe the like a smaller version or maybe create a line.
Yeah. Because you can share her and help you too.
Yeah.
Get the makeup.
Like sometimes I'll like not even go anywhere, but I'll just do like my makeup just for fun.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll just FaceTime my cousin, do funny stuff, do like makeup.
Well, we're gonna have to have a session here. Do you hand make it yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes.
You got any employees already?
Your sister.
There you go. Your sister, Yaya, little Yaya, and you got Papa.
So
you
aunts. She's done a couple pop-ups.
You're managing. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I've been to Papa's, been downtown Sunday.
Yeah, Dana's house.
BossCon.
You're gonna come to the San Jose block party, so I'm gonna invite you to those. All right, so
Lucille Packard. We're gonna coordinate
for you to be.
I think it was a scamper.
Yes.
And we're having.
You have your own tent and everything too.
Yeah.
All right, you're set up. Your official pop up now. All right.
And then also, I think this year.
For the summer, she might be doing another pop-up. That's also going to be a fun event.
All right, June. I'm going to give you the dates for our pop-ups. We have 6 block parties, and I think it'd be fun to have you out there, and I'll waive the fees for your pop-up, and then you just got to make sure you take care of part of the proceeds go to where they're going. So
yeah.
Also, for like the scamper, I'm going to be one of the heroes.
Nice, all right.
And also, we took like pictures.
Okay.
For like the photos for the viewboard.
Of the campaign.
For the campaign. And then she said, like, basically, you're going to be all over, like, the...
Email blaster.
Email.
Yeah.
At Lucille Packard.
Viewboards, pictures.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, I'm going to be, like...
You're going to be famous. At the Lucille Packard. Uh-huh. Yeah. No, that's cool. Yeah. Hey, you're going to be... You know what you're going to do is you're going to be an inspiration now for others. And if you could do it, they could do it.
Yeah.
They just have to be... You're the hope.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, something that in that environment woke you up too at a young age, and now you're gonna. It's what we call paying it forward.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. In life, we got to continue to do good in order to get good. Right. Mm-hmm. But not do it because you're gonna get good, but just because it gives that energy around you. Right. Yeah. So then, I'm a partner. So I'm in. So that's part of the reason why I was excited. I was like, again. I'm talking to entrepreneurs and then what they do to pay it forward.
Yeah.
And what they've done to pay it forward now brings you here on board with us.
Yeah.
And it's great to see the fact that not only do you have strong parents that they better love you, right? If not, there's plenty of others that love you. So, but they instilled great values in you to be a strong human, right?
Yeah.
Let's remove... The boy, girl, genders, whatever, the color lines. You're a human being with great values now. And you don't see nothing other than just another human being that that wants to do well and that wants to give back. We want to go or inspire others to really save themselves. Because what you're doing right now is you're saving yourself from life.
Yep.
So I don't even feel strange talking to you like this because I'm just
comfortable.
You're definitely are an inspiration, and I'm really happy to see that you're happy about things or that you feel good. And I'm sure that you have some bad days. And let's talk a little bit about that. Not that we're gonna go there far, but do you have bad days?
We told her I think she's the true definition of bravery. And bravery, what I mean is that she does the emotion of fear is not just dodging it, it's accepting it and moving forward. And that's her true example of that, because what I mean is that it's a roller coaster of emotion going through cancer. We've gone through our roller coaster of emotions. And I think of building her mentally strong, and we got to make most of all the negative things and move on past it. Something happens, how do we make it better?
Right.
Because happiness doesn't come to you. You make happiness.
Yeah, and it's not forever, right? Yeah. For the time being. It can be, but we have to fight those challenges that come
our way. Exactly, yeah.
Well, this leads to your faith, right? Faith, family, and some of the stuff that you guys believe in. Foundations, have you guys decided to create or are working in something like that?
So that's one of her Zedru. I'm trying to figure out the legal terms of, okay, should we start doing a nonprofit? Because people were able to help us during our time. And I'll go into that when we go into the relapse, Sunaida. And then I told her, just like you said, it's not about receiving. We also want to pay it forward, pay back of who also helped us as well. And so with Sunaida's bracelets, we were able to do fundraisers and pay it forward and be able to help other families get through this situation, whether it's either financially, spiritually, or whatever circumstance, anything we could do. Hey,
just give hope.
Yep.
Just the mere fact that something that's so small, not small in the gift, but it's that this right here, there could be a lot of meanings, right? Yeah. I mean, so yeah, I think that part of the future run here is obviously you're thinking a lot more different than other children your age.
Yeah.
I know when I was 12 years old, I was thinking of, it was rough. Sixth grade, it was rough for me because the kids were ruthless, right? You're an idol to me. I'm like, damn, she beat me. I'm going to take some claim to it because I'm like, remember when I told you that on the show?
So, yeah, there you go, babe.
Yeah, no, and anything is possible. This goes back to what we just talked about. Have no fear.
Mm-hmm.
Continue to do everything that you're doing with the best intention.
Yeah.
So, all right, so I want to get to the part now. You said relapse. You said it earlier. Mm-hmm. So... Mm-hmm. How recent is this? And then what's our game plan here to beat this thing again? Because it's not over. And it's when I say we, it's because I'm a part of this journey now with you guys. What's talk to me about that? I mean, because again, and for the people that are out there watching, but talk to us now. Now it's not only one version. It's now
she has two cancers now. She had thyroid cancer, and the neuroblastoma came back, but this time it came back in her skull area. So that was a different game ball. So
and I was about like 8, 9 years old.
So you were
this has now been how many years now we've been dealing with this?
7, 8 years.
No, but the relapse?
Oh, for the relapse?
Yeah.
She was in remission for 3.5 years, I think, or 4 years. And that's when it finally came back. We were now looking into a different ball game where we were consulting with different doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we started consulting with UCSF, CHLA, Sloan Kettering in New York, Philadelphia. Because this is where now we learn, like, each hospital has different protocols and different regimens. And then I started becoming a part of Facebook group chat amongst a lot of neuroblastoma family that went through cancers. And there we learned a lot of different therapies and what hospitals were doing clinical trials and things like that. So from there, Sunaida, we found out that the neuroblastoma wasn't inside of the spinal fluid or any of her bone marrow, which was good, which is a good sign of the cancer. So then from there, that's when we went to CHLA, decided as a family to do the clinical trial. And the clinical trial was a different, so basically what it was is like the contrast they used, she got her superpowers, we like to call it.
Marvel. So you beat me now. Which you did a different version of it now or what?
So they put it on Maya, so as you could you can't really see it because of her hair,
but I have a little bump right
here. I told her it's her little squishy.
She calls it a personal squishy, but whenever she squishes it, it feels weird.
So what is that for?
So basically it's to tap. Instead of doing a spinal tap, they were able to access it's called Omaya, where they could tap into her spinal fluid. So there they were scared that the cancer was going to get into her spinal fluid because there was cancer in her skull area. So for the clinical trial, we decided to do a radioactive injection to kill that area because that way it hits the spinal fluid area just in case of the cancer neuroblastoma goes into the bone marrow. So we did that. We stayed in LA, and my kids were, now I already had my son at this time, so I had two kids, and Sunaida were back in relapse.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to stay in LA for about a month. So we lived in LA for about a month. We stayed at the Ronald McDonald in LA. So those of you that see those donations, it's a real thing.
No, it's real. My friend Lorianne Cerna, who is, oh my God, she's a big supporter of the Ronald McDonald House in LA.
Us too, yeah.
Big, all the big celebrities. She's a big A-lister, Hollywood. I call her the Queen Bee of Hollywood. she does all the big celebrity events, and she's a big supporter of that. So we're gonna get her involved in this now too. Watch. Yeah. So Lori, when you watch, I got you. So
from the Bay to LA,
there you go. So you're in LA for a month,
and this is during right when the pandemic happened. Oh, so man. Now we're like. It was funny because I always tell everyone, you guys get a glimpse of what cancer lifestyle is because the pandemic, everybody was shelter in place. And that was us the first year. But we actually, the second time around, I was telling my husband, was like, okay, what could we do different that we didn't do in the first time we got cancer?
There you go, right? Because now you have some experience.
Yeah. Yep.
Some life experience, right? Yeah, no, but it's part of the it's part of the challenge.
Yep.
You know, we have to put energy, positive energy into this. You have experience, so that's 50% already. You got it. You already know one.
Yeah.
Now life threw another little extra just to make sure that you're on your P's and Q's now. And everybody, you got your superpower now. You're on a whole different level.
And so from there, that's when I think we got closer to God. It's easy to go back and be like, why me? Why this?
Dangerous.
I think that's the hard part, to let that go. And as a mom and as a parent, I think we could go into so many things about life challenges. That the hardest part is just to let it go and leave it in God's hands, because we're so used to being in control.
Yeah.
And so I think...
you're not preaching to the choir here. I try to be in control of everything, and I'm finally surrendered.
Yeah. We have to surrender ourselves and leave it to God, because I think in every situation, it took me a while. It took me a while. I'm not going to lie.
You kept fighting it. Now you're in. So,
do you
believe in God?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You thank Him every day?
Mm-hmm.
For another beautiful day of life?
Yeah.
Every
and for
day.
Your superpowers, because you're going to be here with us for a long time. We got to hit $1 million together. That's my goal for you and I. We got to hit $1 million. And after you, whatever you want to do after, that's your choice. But we got to hit that. We got to make that a goal.
Yeah.
Something in the universe will give us that blessing to get there. So.
Yeah.
So you better start working, getting your team ready, because we're going to be making a lot of bracelets. I have the numbers downstairs. I'll share them with you so you can see how many bracelets you're going to have to make. So. Mm-hmm.
So then that's when we got into, we were living in LA, the pandemic's happening, and she's in school virtually, so it's different. Now we're in a different era during a pandemic, and it's crazy,
because
that's when the whole thing happened, and it was a beauty in disguise, I say, because I was able to work remote, everyone was working remote, I was able to be with Sunaida, same thing with my husband, and we lived in LA. And so we just took it as, let's make the most out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we explored LA, we did different things and we kept that momentum of always living life to the fullest.
Yeah.
And then from there, Sunaida did very well. She was in remission, but only for about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then they didn't want to deal with the thyroid cancer yet because of the neuroblastoma took priority. So then from there, we were just trying to do things holistically for mm-hmm. the thyroid, because we were trying to preserve it, and we were unsure like what to do, because we're like, thyroid cancer is like the best cancer to have because it's a slow growing cancer.
Mm.
And so we would do CMOS, we would do like different, we try to change our regimen.
Yeah,
our
your
food.
Diet. Yeah,
yeah, the diet. The was food. Medicine, yeah. basically. And she's eating, she's already recuperating, and now she's able to intake all these the food. So then from there, we did turkey tail, sea moss, mm-hmm. teas. We changed our nutrition a lot. And so we're like, okay.
As a whole family, too, everybody.
Because we're back to square one, where the treatments were the same chemos. And that's where It sucks because childhood cancer is actually the most underfunded. So the government doesn't, they get this budget and they don't, they only get a 4% budget that goes to childhood cancer, and the rest goes either to adult cancers and different types of diseases and stuff. And unfortunately, childhood cancer is underfunded. So there's not a lot of research, and that's why I'm so dear to the pediatric cancer research, because it's actually behind that organization is a group of family that also went through what we went through and many other families went through, and want the government to start researching more on childhood cancer therapies, because right. we are very limited. So like all the therapies that we got for Sunita are old. They're like 30 plus years old. There's nothing that changed. There's clinical trials, but they're pretty much the same treatment. So now us as parents had to start researching. My husband and I, my husband started looking to, and that's where I go back to the Facebook group chat of all the parents. Hey, what therapies did you guys do? What did and we were like, it was cool because we had a community.
Yeah.
Where we could talk to each other.
Gotta love Facebook. There's a community for everything there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Everything.
And that's the beauty of social media.
Right. Yeah, you get to connect with around the world. So you get to start doing your own research and your own kind of gathering of information. And I'm seeing it through the transformation that I've gone through recently. You said earlier how you lost yourself and or you felt that way.
Yeah.
I lost myself in my own sauce when success got to me, and I had to, someone had to put the mirror in my face and say, hey, you're not that sexy, bro. I was like, damn, all right. But I thought I was wearing all black. So I was like, I thought I could hide it. Right. I was like, but it just, someone had to wake me up. And I had to, I've felt it now when the foods that I eat.
Yeah.
And how I eat.
And it makes you feel good. I bet you now.
Now I'm hypersensitive when I have even a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Or if I have hard liquor, I'm like, whoa, okay. And I don't like the feeling now. So so it reminds me. And then when I eat, I try to eat as clean as possible. So I'm still good looking, right? But no, it's one of those things, right? You just we got to pay attention.
Yep.
And I think that, again, you are a part of a whole different class percentage in the world, because the science would be crazy to even figure that out. But the fact that you as a family can come together, and I know that's important. Family is that.
It's everything.
It is. It has to be the foundation, right, of everything. Yep. And I think that this experience has built a strong foundation. I'm going to assume correctly.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. Made correctly. Us stronger. But it doesn't happen to a lot of families.
No.
And we witnessed, so when we were in the hospital, that's when we got into, and the second time around with Sunita, we got to see other families that our situation is totally different from a lot of people. We got to meet families, a single mom that her daughter was having cancer and she didn't have the same scenario, but we had to build community where we had to be there for each other, and family is everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine that level of percentage of people, right? The single mom, the single dad.
Yeah.
I've seen families get destroyed because one of the parents just had enough.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Or it was too much for them.
Or just had enough, right? Just, it was too much. Whatever excuse or whatever softener they need to put on, at the end of the day, to be a solid team and to have everything that you guys have today.
Yeah, because we're a team. You have to be a team.
Your team Z-Strong. Hello, hashtag Z-Strong. So I'm not wearing mine yet, but I'll be wearing my jersey soon. So we got it. But it's
even with this scenario, it's, you have to think of it as a business perspective too, because it's a functioning family and we have to run it and be there for each other and support each other and all the emotions. And even Sunita would be checking up on me. Are you okay, mom? Like, how do you feel? And I'm just like, what? You shouldn't be checking on me.
Yeah. No, but that's good. You love mom, and you got to make sure that mom is good. And I'm sure you asked dad too. Yep. Something I just got to say from just the conversations that we had earlier today, even before we started, the fact that when we started this, I was thinking, what direction do we go, right? I know that this seed was planted through an entrepreneur interview, but I knew that there was more, and that's why we had that conversation. The fact that your husband has not only working a regular job, but also has taken the time to go create another business that could potentially be a very successful business.
Yeah.
That's just to show how much you guys really want
more,
right? And not only want more, but the determination of how bad do you want it.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Because at the end of the day, there's nothing more than having your own freedom. I want to take care of my mom. And those were the driving forces. I call it rocket fuel, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you have your rocket fuels and you have you want to do some cool things that you want to help out some of the kids that are going through some crazy stuff too that in their mind, they don't know. You already have experience, right? Mm-hmm. So you're already successful.
Yeah.
Right. We're going to give you that title already. You're already successful in the game of life. Mm-hmm. Now you got to continue to be successful in the next versions of life. Right. And I'm not comparing your life to business, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
Right? But when I leave from here today, there's a challenge already waiting for me. There's probably already a couple on my desk that I have to deal with. But we have to deal with it.
Yeah. It's up to you.
Yeah. It's up to you. And, you know, at the end of the day, the only thing I'm going to say to you or I'm going to ask you is how bad do you want it? And you're the only person that can answer that, right? Yeah. You got your mom, you got your dad, you got Yaya, you got Papa. you got a crew waiting.
Yeah,
you got a
whole family.
You got a whole army that's behind you. And it's not even about letting them down. It's don't let yourself down. And let's take it. You got people like me now that are going to be in your universe and others that are in here that we can do. There's a lot that we can do. It's just, again, how bad do you want it?
Yep, exactly. Yeah. You know? And I think that pandemic was the perfect time, like when we were like, how bad do we want to kick cancer's ass?
Yeah.
And so
there
she
you
was
go.
In full throttle, motivated.
And where are we at right now? Where is this thing at? And what are some of the things? Obviously, you're out here with us, so it's not contagious. It's not anything how do you see and how are we fighting this?
So right now, exciting.
Yeah. So with everything that Sunita has been through, the cancer is back.
Right and now, it's in my lungs.
The same cancer.
Same cancer.
But I go back. Well, let's go back to the relapse. So basically, during that, we came back stronger for the second time, which was cool. We're all mindset ready. Yeah. The pandemic happened. I was working out more, so we were doing things that. What could we do different that we weren't doing the first time?
Yeah.
And honestly, the first time we weren't mentally strong.
Yeah.
Because it was funny because I bring this up because my husband was working out a lot and I was like, oh, you need to help me more.
You got to push now.
But I didn't understand why he was working out.
Right.
And it's because it was keeping him sane and it was medicine for our situation.
That's right.
And so that's what I learned. And let's work out together. Let's start working out as a family. And it'll make you feel good. Release endorphins.
Yeah.
And so from there, that's when we got the pandemic. We got into the fitness, started working out as a family, even in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Listened to Bad Bunny working out, huh, babe, during chemo treatments.
Yeah. And by the way, there's like lid walls in the middle. So she's in a separate space of the room and I'm in like the other side. Because I'm radioactive.
You're radioactive, all right.
She can't come near me because then she could get it.
I get exposed to radiation,
And then plus, whenever I'm too close to her, she has like a remote. And then I'm too close to her, it would beep. And it would be so funny.
Yeah.
My mom would be like, you're radioactive.
You're radioactive, stay away from me. Yeah.
So from there, that's when we mentally was praying every day, working out. And that was like our new routine is waking up, thanking God for waking us up and working out. And it just started feeling really good. And I think throughout that whole everything was like with God by our side, anything's possible. And we kept that momentum going and living life to the fullest. And I think that's when we surprised her. So at the time, they were doing the biopsy for her thyroid, and we weren't sure if we were going to take out the thyroid because we were nervous about that in that time. Yeah. And we did do the biopsy, and it came back clear.
Okay.
So for there, we were like, okay, so it came back clear, but then I guess something happened. I heard stories from other families. We did the same thing, but we decided to take out the thyroid.
When they took out the thyroid, and they tested it, and ended up having it.
It didn't have. Thyroid cancer.
Didn't have thyroid cancer.
But when they took it out, it did have thyroid cancer. So I'm like, what if that's the night? Because things were off still on her blood work.
Yeah.
So then from that, we were done with the clinical trial. Mm-hmm. She did very good. Yeah. And then after the thyroid, we decided as parents, and I think this is the hard part because you're deciding for your daughter. She's not old enough to decide on her own. So we're making decisions like, oh, is this the right decision to do? Yeah. So then we decided to take out her thyroid because I was nervous that there was cancer inside the thyroid just because of the blood work. So then we decided to make the decision to take out her thyroid. We asked Sunaida, I'm like, what do you think? And we, every decision we make, we also asked Sunaida what she wanted to do because I want her to feel involved. I want to be transparent. I want her to start making decisions because, God forbid, if anything happens, I want her to be able to make those decisions for herself.
Yeah, no, you're in charge now. Legally, your parents are, but it's your body, it's your brain, it's your mind. It's, I'm not going to encourage you, but...
She's her own person.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you've already made some pretty life-changing decisions, which, again, I wrote a book on this. Well, because I was a kid, I reflected, I made a decision. Mm-hmm. I committed and I executed, right? So you made a decision. You were going to fight this. Yep. Mm-hmm. You committed to it. Yep. And then you took action.
Yep. Yep.
So same thing. You're going to be a part of the decision-making process and you're going to commit and you're going to take charge and execute on it. So so where are things at then at this point?
And that's when she started her business.
Yeah.
So during that time, after the 6 months relapse, this is the third time it relapses. And this time it's the neuroblastoma. And so from the neuroblastoma, that's when she started her business, Z Jewelry Box, making bracelets. She would started making bracelets out of nowhere. And she was fast. She was making a bunch just for her friends in class and teachers. And then one day the nurse comes in and they were like, what did they start saying? Making?
They said, they asked if they could do like a matching bracelet for like their scrubs. Their scrubs would be like all boring and all, and like they wanted to add like a spice to it. So I'm like, oh sure, I'll match it. And I'll be like done in the next 5 minutes. And they were like, oh my goodness, you do it so fast. And I'm like, thank you.
And then all of a sudden, because you have a whole bunch of nurses coming in, I heard that you have a shop in here. She had her own pop-up.
There you go.
Yeah, in the hospital.
So you're going to have to call them back and say, hey, I need to do my little pop-up there and start doing it for the kids that are there.
Yep.
That's then, that would be, if there nobody's doing it already, imagine what you're going to do. And you're just going to give them their little, their hope bracelet, right? Yeah. Brought to you by Z Jewelry Box. Yeah. Come on. I'm your marketing agent now, too. We're going to make things happen. I like this.
And that's a special thing because everything was handmade, so they get a little piece of Sunaida with them. And that's what I tell everyone.
That's deep right there. That's deep. You're doing it with love, right? And you're doing it with the hey, if I can do it, you can do it too.
Yeah. Yep. And then from there, she started her business. She was like, Mommy, you and Puppy have your business. She's, I wanted to have my own business. I was like, babe, are you sure? It's a lot of work. She's, yeah, why not? And I was like, all right.
It's good. Now we have to set goals for it. And then so wrapping it up with, business education. Is she going to school now?
She's going to school. At the time, she's in and out of school. So when she relapsed, she missed a big chunk of school.
Got it.
So it was cool because at that time when she wanted to learn about business, it gives, I am totally for, because these are things that we don't learn in school, unfortunately.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm like, the fact that you're already ahead of, again, you're part of the one percenters already. I'm going to tell you that. You're, when you get there, you'll understand.
Yeah.
You're already a part of a whole different set of group of people.
And that's
it's not because of your health, sweetheart. It's about your where your mind is.
Yeah, it's very mentally strong.
There's people that are adults that don't have the kind of mind you have. Yeah. What are your goals? What do you want to do when you get older? When you become an adult?
I want to become a nurse.
Really?
Like what I've been through, I know what it feels and how it feels.
What would you tell kids or someone that's going through rough times in life right now? What would you share to them? What would you tell them?
Never grow up.
Never give up?
Never give up.
Yeah. No. Where'd you get that from? Where did that come from?
My mom, actually. she would tell me.
That's what we have
that,
right
that, was deep. That was deep.
Never give up.
So you have a great mom, and I know you have a super great dad. So never give up is your message, huh?
Yeah, never give up.
All right. Anything else? It's just that's your mantra right there. Do you know what a mantra is? That's your superpower in words. Never give up.
I have another word, but it's not coming up to mind.
All right.
Yeah, never
anything that motivated you during your journey? Like,
Definitely God. Every time we prayed or anything, like when we go to school, like we would always pray. It don't feel good, too. I can feel it.
Yeah? Wow. I just felt it right now. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I gotta say, honestly, this has probably been the best interview I've had. I'm just serious.
We could even talk about a lot more.
I'm like the Bad Bunny concert. Oh my god, this has been you've been a little inspiration, a little big inspiration in my life, because again, whenever I think that life has been tough, I'm just gonna always remember you and right here be like, oh.
Zenaida.
My girls. No.
La Guerrera.
No, exactly. Mm-hmm. So actually, we're gonna end it on that. We're gonna end it on a sweet note, right? Yeah. So I had the Paleta Planeta guys do a special batch of your paletas just for the show.
Aww.
So they're downstairs in the freezer. So, all right, Jesusa, we have you, aka Chewy. We talked about over an hour about you, and I think that since you were in the room, I think it's at least important that we get you on. Yeah, I think we're done with Mom. The Bad Bunny story, you'll tell us. I think, Mom, we're done with you on the interview here. But, Jesus, I got to tell you, man, the energy you brought in here, I appreciate what you, just... I felt the peace.
Yeah.
We had a conversation before the show. We're backstage here talking. And, man, brother, you, so far from what I've gathered, is you're the glue that's keeping things together from different perspectives.
Yep.
And give us your side, man, because...
Number one important is Jesus is King.
Yeah.
That's what's keeps my glue. That's my glue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your faith,
100%. And then also, with all respect to my wife, she's great, but number one, the household is the father. Yeah. Like Jesus is the father.
Yeah.
Keeps everything together. But don't get me wrong, my wife, 100%, she wears 5-6 different hats, which
she's
number one.
Got it.
It's been a journey. I mean, in as far as all aspects, business, life, work-life balance, faith.
That doesn't family. Exist. Balance doesn't exist, my brother.
It doesn't.
I had to correct you on that one just because, entrepreneurship, life, everything, there is no balance.
It really does it because you can't really meter it. Like,
that's
you
right.
Know, you can't, you know. Sometimes I sit there and I go back and forth. Wait a minute, work or family? And it's not that I'm making that choice. It's not.
No.
And it's because...
You don't have a choice.
I don't have a choice.
You don't have a choice.
That's exactly my point. Yeah. And at the end of the day, I'm doing it for them. I'm doing it for more. I'm trying to hustle to get these funds to free up my time so I could give it to them.
Yeah.
So that's basically where I'm at, and decided to open, like I was telling you, behind scenes. Decided to open my own company.
Yeah.
And my number one inspiration was... my family.
That's right. Right.
I'm trying to give them the best life they could ever possibly have. But at the same time, every single trips that we jump into, every single, like I tell you tonight, what would I tell you?
To always remember what we ever do.
No, so I always tell her that, just remember that there's a lot of kids out there that don't experience what we experience.
Yeah.
And also, God bless my parents, all the trips that we take them in, they would never have the funds to take us and provide the activities, the opportunities that we give them.
Yeah.
And I always thank God that He's put me in a position to take advantage of all these opportunities that exist. Because there's not just one, there's two, three. You can move them all different ways.
Yeah.
Reading the book, circling back to the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, opened up my eyes. I took out the veil. I'm like, wait a minute. This is more than the 9-to-5. What are we doing here? 9-to-5, they're just capping you. You're trading your time for money.
Money. That's right.
That's all you're doing.
There's a whole world on money, understanding how money works, what money is. There's one thing, too, that we don't own money. We're stewards or caretakers of money. And if you learn to...
And it just, I think it falls back for, I want everything that life can offer. But I tell everyone, everything I do in life, like my wife said, I think everything happens for a reason.
Absolutely.
And, circling back to my daughter's situation, the one positive thing that I'm taking from everything is that it got me closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone says, oh yeah, I go to church, I believe in God. No. Just like financial education, it's just drawn me to the way the monetary system works, the way currency works.
Yeah.
In the last year, I started learning how the whole UL insurance policies work.
Yeah.
Everything, like ever since I read the book, stock trading, everything. Mm. But you still have to understand how your faith works.
That's right.
How the gospel works. Mm-hmm. You have to be full invested. Just any type of business.
You're hitting my soul right now, my brother.
Just like you can't be, in God, you can't be foot in, foot out.
Yeah.
That's the that's the one of the toughest burdens you could ever have. Because if you're one foot in, one out, you're failing at both sides. You're failing at the faith, and you're failing at what the world is trying to, like, trying to take away from you. You know what I'm saying? You have the social media part of, how to put it, of just in every social, the whole social construct, right?
Yeah.
If you have one foot in, one foot out, you're failing at both sides. So you have to be fully committed. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm 100%. I'm committed, but I'm not going to say I'm 100% like I know the whole gospel by memory. No. It's a journey.
Yeah. And like, just like anything, yeah.
Like you were saying, that 747 runway, that's where I'm at in my faith.
There
because
you go.
I have my whole family I need to carry behind my back to get them to what they need
and
to
be. And we're Latinos, bro, so we got a big family.
So as far as faith goes, that's where I'm at.
Good.
As far as the business, I'm trying to throw everything at it.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'll give you some pointers, some little golden nuggets. In business, in any business that you get into, they all have the same rules.
Yeah.
It's just what type of business you want to get into. And then it comes down to relationships, right? Yeah. And I think that, and work ethic. Work ethic is important.
Yeah.
And if you have work ethic, the rest is history, right?
That's my wife.
Yeah, oh yeah. No, I would not be where I'm at in my life if I didn't have work ethic. Yeah. And then vision, right? Yeah, we have to have vision, right?
Vision.
Without a vision, people perish, right? I've heard that's in the Bible. I haven't found the line in there yet. That's what I've heard. I want to talk about, and briefly, because again, I felt that I needed it. Since you were here, I didn't want to miss a moment because your daughter's here.
Yeah.
This has been a big part of your life journey so far as well.
Yeah.
For the last 12 years of your life.
Yeah.
You've been dealing with it as well.
Yeah.
She's been going through it in a different way, obviously physically, and you've been dealing with it on a different way as well. That may be the reason why you got so close to God.
Yes.
And your family, your faith has become so strong because now we have this little young warrior here that she's got to do her part now too. And I think you're doing a great part of fighting. You're not only fighting for yourself, but you're also fighting now for your family too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So...
It's like everything else, my kids. And see, at the end of the day, we can show them the ropes, kids. And like I was telling you earlier, we always have that one person that gives us a nudge, but they can't do the work for you.
That's right.
So I'm going to give them all the tools I could possibly give them, whether it's financially, whether it's emotionally, spiritually, and then give them that nudge. Now, what they do, we're always going to be there for them.
That's right. Yeah.
But... to hold them accountable.
That's right.
But at the end of the day, you know, we can't make them drink. Like, you lead the horse
to the water. Yeah.
Can't make them drink.
That's right.
That's my job at the end of the day as far as my kids. And
you got to keep accountability. That's that your job as the king of your kingdom.
Yeah.
Right? Let's call it that.
Yeah.
Is to keep the family. You got a full house, man. You got a full house.
Got the kingdom, yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I love him.
Yeah. It's your rock. Yeah. So, I'm telling you, today was meant to be for many reasons. So, I just want to say thank you for sharing the time with your family, your children, to allow us to even talk about this story. And sharing this because this, again, for whatever reason, right?
Yeah, it's not on our hands, brother.
As much as I want it to be.
It's not on our hands.
Yeah. You know? Jeez. Sorry about that. See, look at me.
Thank you for giving us a platform. My wife, daughter, platform. Telling our story. And there's a lot of stuff that wasn't told, but...
What do you think out of the whole... And again, we're in no rush here. I this is our time. And sorry, guys.
I think...
What do you think is the... that we missed that you would want to hit on?
I think the sheer emotion.
Man, this is the first time I cry on my show. Jesus Christ.
I mean it in a positive way, the sheer emotion. A lot of people don't understand the sheer emotion that as a human being, I think that we go through. Whether it's my daughter, my wife, and there's a lot of stuff that we experienced that I don't wish on nobody, but
yeah,
there's a lot of stuff like we experienced I wish on, I hope everyone finds in their life.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I think the sheer emotion between every single story, everything that we've gone through, I always believe it was meant to be. Down to the little smallest thing, I always turn to my wife. I'm like, you see, wow, like this happened.
Yeah.
And drives the moment with you. And the father, I never see my family down. Mm-hmm. Like always my head up. And for the most part, our heads are always up. And that gravitates to my daughter. You can ask her the time.
I asked her, and she said that she never had a bad day. I was like, and that's a superhuman power you
and
got there.
You see me in the background, but I was like, yes, that's my main goal, is to portray that energy and give that energy to her.
Yes.
She has nothing to worry about. She's looking at her mom and dad, and they're positive. They're happy. She came home from school, or she's been looking at us, and it's been an issue about her diagnosis. No,
right?
It's living life.
That's the kind of energy or vibe I got from the minute you found out. Your wife explained that you were the one kind of keeping it together, obviously together as a joint force, but you pushed for that and became the strength and the rock, the glue, everything that just said, hey, we're dealing with this and we're going forward.
When you marry in the church, okay, your sole responsibility as a husband is to make your wife closer to God.
Mm.
Okay. And the sole responsibility of the wife is to make the husband closer to God. So if there's any areas that your wife is not hitting a specific area, mm-hmm. you have to be the husband to go in there and hold her up.
Yeah. Well, okay? You have to be and we not only the husband, but now you're the father.
The father.
You're the father of your kingdom, right? You have your children, and you need to father them, and you need to teach them.
Exactly.
And so, man, interestingly enough, I didn't have that upbringing, and I didn't have that in my life. But yet, I didn't turn out to be not that too bad. But I've learned that those are the things that I want to embrace and bring into and share. That's a whole nother story, my brother, and we'll go into it. And I see a lot of the stuff of the strength that you give. Your wife is solid. We're talking about the fact that at the end of the day, Zenaida, you have had one of the most challenging things in life that not a lot of children experience. People, adults maybe experience it, and even the adults that some experience it don't even have the strength or the advantage that you have as a child going through what you're going through. So to me, part of the point of this is to really dive into the mind that you have, right? Yeah. Because your mindset, it's the mind that really, I was just curious, like, where did this come from? I was, honestly, I didn't even know what to expect other than the little pictures, I don't mean a little, but the pictures that I saw, and I was like, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know that I was going to be talking to a mature human being with the mindset. I did not know what to expect, and I'm just so blessed and grateful and just honored to share this time with you while you're here on this planet with all of us. And I just appreciate it, man. I don't even know how to.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
There's no words.
No,
I mean, there's no words. I'm how you are right now. That's how I'm every day.
Yeah, and that's drive for me. It fills me up with like rocket fuel, right? It's my like energy. Like I'm gonna walk out of here, and my next deal, I'm gonna dedicate it to you. I'm gonna be like, let's go, because there's just so much to reflect from this, right? Yeah. That's why I asked earlier, is what is she going to do with the business, right? I wanted to hear the where's the why, right?
Yeah.
The fact that she's willing, that she wants to do it to give back to kids and to create chemo packs, which, you know, that is your why.
Yeah.
Again, we're talking business now. Yeah,
I think at this point we're covering family.
Disclaimer, just for the haters out there.
we're covering business, opportunity, everything, mindset, faith.
Yeah,
and this is my message to everyone that's our opportunity, going out and starting their own company. Okay, and I'm not putting myself at a pedestal saying, no, here. I'm just explaining my situation.
Yeah. Okay,
I have a 9-to-5, right? Yeah. And I know everyone cringes 9-to-5.
Nah.
Okay, but I have my own side company, Then I have my family situation going on. I live an hour away from where I work. So I live in Hollister. So not only do I have to get off work.
You must leave at what time do you leave back? Because that's a 2-hour, 3-hour drive sometimes.
Yeah. So I'll get off work, go to my parents' house because I have my work van over there.
Yeah.
Jump on there, communicate with the customers. I'm going to be set time. Go knock a couple of little cleanings out.
Yeah.
Then I text my wife, hey, I'm done. Go over there, put away the van, jump back in my work truck in traffic.
Yeah.
And then get there, and then I tell my other daughter, are you ready for soccer? Boom. Let's go. She's playing competitive. All right, we take my daughter to practice, sitting there, get home. What's for, you know, my wife, like, again, 20 hats. She does it all. I respect to her. And I think get home, eat dinner, and then also, and then we have to play the role of being a father, a mother, a daughter.
And a son.
And a son. My son, hey, I want to go ride my bike. Yeah. Wife's like, hey, help the kids out with their homework.
Yeah.
So the day's not done.
Yeah.
So, and then after that, whatever my wife, home project she has for me, hang this, do that, you know. So build this. Yeah. So it never stops. And, and to sum it all up, if I could do that.
Yeah.
If I could do that. And I'm talking to the 22-year-old, 21-year-old. You have no kids.
Yeah. Even the guys that have, let's just talk about, let's go global, everybody. If you can do it, how old are you, by any chance?
39.
If you can do it at 39.
Sorry, 38. I forget. 38. I lost count. Honestly, I lost count. And like you said, I lost count because I just feel I stay at one age. My mentality doesn't age, only for the better. So
you're on a great path right now. Yeah.
God willingly, 100%. God's will. I just pray that He gives me His grace. I just gives me His grace all the time. And I always pray every single morning, pray for my family, my parents, my kids in the hospital. I always pray every morning for the.
Is he telling the truth? He prays a lot, right? He's got big faith.
Yeah. So what?
And you got it too. You said it. You said it. So I'm that. Yeah.
Yeah. She has faith. Every before we go to sleep, what I always tell you guys.
To pray.
And then even in public when we go out.
To pray.
What do we do before we eat?
Give thanks. Yeah.
Thanks.
And this is very uncommon. And I'm very surprised. And I was telling my wife the other day, not to be jumping around, but we sat next to this family. That's the first time ever I've seen someone pray other than us in public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give thanks to the Lord.
And I think that at the end of the day, it's just human kindness.
Yeah.
We got to have human kindness. Humanity is, if we let the outside world affect us, then we just don't become the good people and we become bad. And I think that life just gives us those experiences. And I'm just blessed to have all these experiences that have come to me that have transform me to the person that I am today. So one last thing, I want to wrap it up too, because I want to eat those paletas before they melt. You know? Last words, what would you say to the parents out there? We had mom say what she would say. What would you say out to the parents that are out there? And I think you've touched it, but in final words, what would you tell people out there that are going through some life challenges?
If you're going through life challenges, number one, have faith. Have faith in God. Mm-hmm. Pour yourself in prayer. I'm going to say a couple of things. Number two, get strong with your partner.
Yeah.
Because I could never have done it. As much as I took charge that one time, I could never have done it without that woman.
Yeah.
Never.
Good.
Never. And the third thing is you have three realities, okay? You have the past, present, you have the future.
Mm-hmm.
Live in the present.
Thank God you said that. Good.
Live in the present. Because if you live in the future, you're going to torment yourself so much. You're going to create anxiety and you're going to just ruin your present.
Yeah.
If you live in the past, the deals are done. You can't bring them back. You can't undo stuff. Deals are done. Let's move forward now.
So give us some last words here before we eat paletas. Come on. Some good ones too.
Faith, love, and never give up.
All right. I want to say thank you for, again, making time. Thank you for, it all worked out, you know?
Yeah,
it all worked out. So we're here. Mauricio Mejia live. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Zaneta, you're off the hook. Mom, you're off the hook. Dad, you're off the hook. We're gonna grab some paletas. We're gonna give one to our camera guy. Oh, you're Tyler. T, you get one. All right, boom. Mom, you gonna have one?
Yeah.
All right, Mom's gonna have one. I'm gonna save the best for last here. Producer of the show, you gonna have one back there?
This one I crave it at summertime.
We're gonna give a Paleta Planeta shout out for these.
Yeah.
And we're gonna give a shout out to Bad Bunny. If you saw Bad Bunny or if you had an opportunity, what would you tell Bad Bunny right now, huh?
I don't know.
You don't know? Oh my God, this is really good. You came up with the flavor too.
I think chamoy. Yeah, chamoy.
Well, this is amazing Paleta. And the guys that created, God bless them too. And they're an amazing brothers and team and business, and we're here to
just amazing human beings.
Mm-hmm.
The gestures that they have done for my daughter.
Thank you so much for being here. Mauricio Mejia Live. We're going to enjoy our paletas here. See you guys next week.
Mauricio Mejia Live.